Welcome everyone to yet another episode of the Meta Zoo. Just in case you thought you'd had enough, well, here goes more. This is like the second helpings you never asked for. But here we are anyway, bringing it to you. With me today are two of the smartest people I work with, not to mention better looking. We've got a John Erickson and we got Hairboat with us. How are you both doing today?
We're here. I'm here. I'm ready.
I'm having a hard time believing that I'm better looking than, you know, smarter. I guess I will take that.
Yes. Okay. All right. So 50%. All right. Either
way, we're gonna have a beauty contest at our next.
Either way,
trip,
we'll take
actually,
it. That's right. Yeah. You guys can't see this, but John, of course, is saying that as he's brushing his hair
and
applying some sort of pomade, right?
And I am wearing my tuxedo, which still fits.
With the Mr. California sash across from.
That's the deal. That's the deal. Exactly. Right. Were you Mr. August? Is that what it is? Mr. August, 1976? Is that the.
76. That's right.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get started, you two. We've got a wonderful topic today, which I think is worth mentioning, simply because as community managers, this is one of the things that we are constantly looking at. And no, it's not the paycheck. No, it's not internet connection. Actually, what today's topic is healthy communities, right? Healthy communities. And so we want to discuss what the thoughts are behind how we look at this topic, what we look for. And so we're going to be asking all sorts of questions, hopefully trying to get at some nuggets of truth. And so let me start off with you, John. As we think about what a healthy community is, can you define maybe like a sentence or two, what makes or how would you define a healthy community? Let's just start there. How would you define a healthy community?
I think a healthy community is one that is fulfilling whatever purpose it has for existence. And doing it in a way that is enjoyable and comfortable for the people who are in it. So I don't think there's an awful lot of groups where like there's a purpose, but nobody is really all that focused on it. And maybe the purpose of that is just having fun and hanging out and enjoying each other's company. And that's cool. But I really think like a healthy community is living up to whatever purpose is behind it, even if that is just enjoying each other's company.
That's really good. Abby, can you add maybe a little side note to that, a couple of additional comments?
Yeah, for sure. I think this is going to sound like I'm spouting the party line, but I actually really believe this. I think a healthy community is a welcoming one and an inclusive one. It's one where you kind of know it when you see it, you know, or you know it when you feel it. If I walk into a new community and I feel like, oh, you know, maybe I don't know what the norms are and the memes are and whatever, but I feel like, you know, these people are probably, you know, they're psyched that I'm around. They're psyched to get to know me or whatever. You kind of feel it. You can just sort of tell. It's one of those things you can't really measure, but you can just kind of feel like this is full of people who are genuinely interested in the topic that we're working on or whatever the cause of the community is or the thing we're trying to do, like John said. And they really want to do it together. They really want, you know, the people already in the community, they're ready to band together and kind of figure this out and spend time together socially and kind of reinforce those bonds. And so they make the people who are already there and also any new people just feel like, you know, this maybe I'm not going to be here every day my whole life, but I could if I wanted to, because this is a place that that really seems like it's kind of got a good energy for people to band together and get something done. That's, I think, a really vague and non-measurable way of gauging whether
totally, totally non-measurable, and that's a good way of putting it. I think when I think about communities, I think of them not as organizations, but as organisms. So we're talking about living, breathing entities, and I think I've mentioned this before. These are organisms that can grow, that can mature, that can die. They get sick, they can improve in their health. And so when I'm looking at a community, that's the way I'm thinking about it. I'm not thinking about it as a thing. I'm thinking about it more as a personality, more as a person, a being on its own, which is comprised of a bunch of members, you know, liken it to cells or liken it to organs of a body, whatever you want. This is like a big thing that we're looking at. And so it can be complex, but that's what makes it hard to measure. So healthy communities, I think you hit on something really good, Abby, when you're talking about you know it when you feel it, right? You know it when you experience it. But John, I'm going to get back to you because you mentioned here that you think a healthy community is one that's fulfilling its purpose. Let's talk about the word purpose. How do you establish a purpose for a community?
That's a that's a difficult question because it probably depends on like where you are in the community and what stage. I'll give you an example. I go to a church and we lost our pastor last year, and I'm part of the team that's trying to figure out a new pastor. And one of the things that we talk about is, well, what is our goal here in this group? And it's a little different than if we were starting a brand new church, right? If we were planting something brand new, we would have a different goal than if we're starting in the middle. We'd have a different purpose because part of our purpose is like continuing the group, continuing what we already have been doing in the past. Mm-hmm. So I think it's complicated. It depends really on the situation. For like Stack Exchange sites, there's a point when they first start where everyone's excited and nobody knows exactly what's going to go on. That's really fun. And you sort of develop this purpose. And then years later, you kind of have to live with the consequences of that and, mm-hmm. for better or worse. And, you know, so trying to refocus is a really difficult, more complicated thing than the really enjoyable, fun, lighthearted, let's get this thing started.
Yeah, that's good. So for in our Stack Exchange, or even in Stack Overflow, we have topics, right? We have sites that are dedicated to different topics. Abby, what is the difference between, in your mind, the purpose and the topic? So let's talk about that for a little bit. Purpose versus topic. What are your thoughts on that?
I love this question. There's something that that we see on Area 51 a lot, that Robert Cartano reports a lot out of Area 51, which is we've got members of our community who love Stack Exchange Q&A sites, who love, you know, participating, going there to talk about, you know, their bicycles and their cameras and whatever, but who see the activity of creating a new Stack Exchange community as an activity unto itself. So they hang out in Area 51, they're kind of helping curate mm-hmm. the proposals that come in, they're joining them or whatever. But the creation of the community is the real fun part for some of these people, which is great. It's awesome to have a community around creating communities. You know, that's if our sort of thesis is that a community is a really good way to get something done and make people be really engaged in a task, then, you know, that's the right way to do it. But the trouble that arises from that approach is that our communities are based around doing something. They're based around a topic or a subject or a group of people who want to create a body of knowledge about something. And that's really the purpose, is to compile all this information. And so when we have people who are more interested in whether or not this community exists than what it's built to do, you just run into a little bit of trouble. You end up not, you know, we get new sites that kind of stumble out of the gate because the folks who are really jazzed about it being there are sort of like, okay, now what? Like, where's the content going to come from and stuff like that. And so I think a community can be an end unto itself. You can have the goal of, I just want to be part of a healthy community. That's maybe a social community or you know, kind of just a forum. But honestly, I don't think it happens very often. You know, you usually find community, especially online, in a forum about a game that you play, or on a Stack Exchange site where we're trying to do something. You know, people really need a sense of direction. Here's what we're trying to do. And from that, the social bonds kind of come up from there. And so I think the purpose is really important and also really hard to define and find sometimes.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned all of us, the possibility of wanting to just belong to a community for belonging's sake. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, even belonging to a healthy community means that at some point we need to participate to help carry or help maintain the health of that community. So we can't just join it, sit there and do nothing and expect the community to continue to be healthy. The act of placing ourselves within a community now empowers us, or gives us a responsibility, I should say, to help maintain the health of the community. Mm. So I think that's an interesting topic that we can discuss. Let's explore that for just a little bit. John, how do you see members of a community? Let's say members from one of our network sites. How do you see members finding their role within a community? And if you have an example of that, that'd be even better.
Yeah, So when I was working on some of the sites I was excited about in the beginning, at first I was really excited about the challenge of answering other people's questions, because like I know a little something about a topic, like gardening was one I participated on. And I was like, oh, I can answer questions on gardening. But then I sort of quickly figured out that, I'm not very good at gardening, actually. And because I live in a condo and we don't have a garden, we've got like pots. So that wasn't really maybe the best use of my time, yeah, or my best contribution. And so then I shifted to asking questions, and I asked the three questions I had about my potted plants. And I was like, well, I either need to get another plant to ask a question about, or I need to find something else to do. And so I think, like, if you care about the topic, if you care about the community, you'll find your niche. I don't know how to pronounce that word. You'll find your location where you're happy. And it's a little bit like, you know, you put the cactus in the sunlight and it thrives. But if you don't give it enough sun, it doesn't thrive. And so I think it's like finding your way within all of the things you can do. Eventually, you know, I was like, oh, I'm excited about gardening still. So I did stuff on Meta. And then I just sort of realized this really isn't the topic for me because, like I said, you know, the three plants that I had were kind of doing, and I'd already asked the questions about them, and I moved on. And so I think there's even a sense where, like, people who realize that they're not part of the community being able to move on, I think that's also a valid choice and one that people need to make sometimes.
Man, that's really good. So you're talking about users finding their role, their place in a community by exploring different options.
Yeah.
Right. Trying this out. Okay, that works. This didn't work. Let me scoot over here. Let me move over here. Abby, how can a community foster that kind of interaction or that kind of space for users to explore and find their niche? Spot.
their location.
Their location. Yes.
We'll have to agree on a pronunciation on that word.
Yes.
their nook. Their
there
cranny.
You go.
You know, this is funny because usually in conversations like this, I'm the last person to turn to a product solution. You know, I'm always like, okay, software solves some of our problems, but we got to talk about the people stuff. But in this case, I think this is one of the areas in which our Q&A software and also just software in general can really help. You know, when people come together and they say, here's what our community is about, here's what we're trying to do, here are the norms and the values, but also here are the tasks that need to be done. Here are the things that someone's got to do, and we need help with this. That's where the software can really come out and say, okay, new user, like, we see you, you're trying to get involved. Here's this list that the community, or, you know, here are these suggestions that the community has for how you can get involved. This is an aside, but I watched there's a show on Netflix called Big Dreams, Small Spaces, which is a reality show about gardening, funnily enough, about gardening in Britain. And there's this guy, Monty Dunn, who's a celebrity gardener who goes around and helps regular people who like gardening sort out their
what
gardens,
cool
right?
Name.
Monty Dunn. Yeah, he's a cool dude. And there's one where a woman is trying to, she's fixing up her garden. She wants it to be a fruit and vegetable garden in her front yard. And she wants it to be a community garden. She wants people from her neighborhood to come and help do the chores and take home the squash and, you know, whatever she's going to end up with too much of. And so she gets advice from other gardeners who've created community garden projects like this. And one of the strongest pieces of advice that she got was create a list of specific things that need to be done. So don't just create a sign saying, hey, welcome, come take an apple or whatever, because people don't really know, does that mean me? Does it not mean me? But if you say, welcome to the community garden, here are six things that you can do to get involved. Like, we need you to shovel this, like, dig this hole over here. We need you to turn this compost bin, like very specific. Mm-hmm. And that actually spurs people to get involved because they say, oh, I have 10 minutes. I can dig a hole in 10 minutes. Sure. And they'll come in and do that instead of kind of the decision paralysis, the choice paralysis of what they could do. So I think that's really important, making it very clear that we welcome your participation. In fact, we welcome it so much that we'll give you 10 things you could choose from. We don't care what it is, but just come hang out, do a thing and hang out with us while we figure this stuff out.
That's awesome. In case our listeners aren't aware of, but our platform is pretty awesome. And so this is one of those things that really make it shine. I mean, it really is. I have talked and discussed and praised the platform over traditional forum software. For most interactions for community, there are some things where I feel we are lacking, but that's maybe for another episode. But I think for the most part, our platform is pretty awesome at this. All right, let's come back to this topic of health, because we kind of, again, healthy communities, we can, you know, there's all sorts of different paths. Let's come back to the main road where we were. And let me ask the both of you, and I'll give you, you know, I'll give you a few seconds to think about this. Of course, it's on the fly, so don't take that long. But give me two things that you believe affect health the most. Two things that you feel affect community health the most. I don't have the Jeopardy song. I'm trying to buy you guys some time here. Yep, trying to buy you some time. Two things, and hopefully they won't be the same things.
Oh, that
if they
be
are, if they are, then great. But if they, yeah, hopefully they'll be different. So two things that you think affect healthy communities, or affect the health of a community, rather, the most. Are we ready? Fantastic.
Yes.
John,
I got at least one.
John, give me your two. What are they?
I think it's a real positive thing if you have introspective users, people who are willing to look at the bigger picture and look at the community with sort of objective, or, you know, attempting to be objective eyes. And
John, before you go to the second one, let me ask you a quick parenthesis questions. Are you an introvert?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
So shockingly, I think introverts are the key to this entire operation. We need more introverts, fewer of you other extroverts out there. No, that's not true at all. But I do think some introspection is super helpful.
What's your second?
Second one, I think, I'm really having a hard time thinking of anything beyond the idea of having a clear purpose. And, you know, someone needs to be kind of holding the vision of the purpose of the site, and that could be the users, some users who are excited about the community and have their vision and are sort of holding that. I think the software plays a role too. Like, there are certain things you just cannot do with our software, and that's holding us to a vision, but having that purpose behind it.
That's pretty good. Okay, Abby, so that you don't forget yours, what are your two things?
So John's second one was kind of my first one, which is the vision and purpose. But I'll expand that to touch on a tiny chunk of it that, John, you mentioned. But I think strong leadership is really important in a community. Not necessarily, you know, we have to elect a grand high poobah who's our strong leader, but just a sense of movement, a sense of direction, and a sense that there are some folks who are agreeing on what that direction is and kind of pulling in that direction. Awesome. I'm going to use the word direction more times. so it can be, you know, a couple of users who just kind of naturally fall into it. Maybe it's a formal structure where there's, you know, moderators and community managers. Maybe it's just these people are around all the time and people tend to trust them. And so they're kind of the de facto leaders of the group. But I think having those values and that purpose, and then some way by which we hold to those values. So people who are there to remind us, hey, this is what we're doing and why. Hey, this is what we're doing and why. And honestly, I think that's something that is really difficult, because it's a repetitive job and it makes you feel like, you know, my job is just to say the same thing over and over and people are going to be bored of it. But it's so important, because it's communities are growing and changing and evolving, and it's different people every time, and it falls on people's ears differently. And so just helping be that kind of strong center, and helping people remember, here's what we're doing and why, and here's how we're all going to do it together. I think that's really important.
Okay.
So that's what I'd say leadership of some kind is probably my number
one. What's your number two?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't think I'd gotten to a number
you
two.
You had plenty of time.
I know. But then I was listening to John, because he's interesting.
He is interesting.
I'm sorry.
Remember,
he was
much smarter than we are.
Right. Exactly. He is much smarter. That's the one he agrees to. He won't agree to the other.
That's right.
that's maybe something that I'll that I can throw in. Thanks for helping me think of it, which is a sense of, I think, something that's important to a sense of community is a sense of play, a sense of kind of enjoyment, even if it's a very serious topic. You know, we're sitting here, we're trying to cure cancer. You know, we're at this conference to try and cure cancer. Very grave, very, very serious. But also, I'd be willing to bet you go to those conferences and there's all sorts of probably jokes that we would find either horrifying or not understand at all because of the subject matter. But sort of a sense of communal humor and just a lightness and play. You know, we can't, if we're coming to these communities to relax and engage with other people, it's got to be a place where we feel a sense of purpose, but also a place we enjoy going, and a place that feels like a break, and we can relax there and kind of have some fun. And so in involving some levity in those shared values, I think is probably my number two most important thing.
I will share my number two. My first one, I think, would be engagement. However you want to measure that, there's all sorts of ways. I think a healthy community is going to have engaged users. Mm. And that encompasses some of the things that both of you shared before. And my number two is personal knowledge, that where users know and have personal knowledge of other users, where it's not just, you know, avatar to avatar conversation or username to username conversation, but it's person to person. It's individual to individual or group to individual, individual to group, where people know each other on a much deeper level than simply, you know, on the surface. I think those two things are huge markers for me as I've looked for healthy communities and to grow healthy communities, to encourage them.
Yeah. And with that second one, I just want to piggyback, you know, it's easy to mistake that one for, you know, like Facebook, for example, says you got to use your real name. You got to use your real name and your real picture on Facebook so everyone knows who you are. Mm-hmm. That's really not it at all. You can be avatar and username. You can be, you know, hairboat on the sites forever, like some of us here could mention, but a sense of consistency and just a sense of kind of honest communication. And even though, you know, we have our little avatars and we don't actually talk to each other in person, we still get to know each other and we understand each other's wants and needs and tendencies and connect in that way. I agree, Juan. I think it's super important.
Yeah. So after all of this jibber jabber that we just shared,
jibber jabber.
Have we cleared any of the smoke? No, we haven't. Have we?
We made more, actually.
Yeah. Have we delineated any new find? No, we have not. I mean, what have we done? We've talked about the things that we look for. So in closing, John, I want you to give me an example of a community on Stack Exchange that you think is healthy. Abby, I would like you to do the same, and I'll share one as well.
All right.
And then after that, as I'm that'll give me time to look through our mailbag to see if we've gotten a response from our sponsor for this week. So, John, go for it.
You know, it's always easier to think of the communities that are not working well that, you know, have been
the problem children kind of come to mind more easily.
Been in my life a little more than I want. I think one that has really been surprising to me, it got off to a rough start, but has settled into what I think is a really great little community, is our puzzling site. And it's a little bit like breaking the model, because what it is people are posting their puzzles, their ideas about, you know, little things to unlock, you know, that they've invented, and they're really wonderful. Some of them are really great puzzles, logic puzzles, or just all sorts of things. And it's a fun site to be on. Every time I've visited, there's something enjoyable there, and I forgive them for breaking our model a little bit to have fun and do something that's unique. So I think that's a great little community.
Yeah. That's a great example of growth that causes the platform to expand a little, to change the way we do things. That's pretty healthy. Yeah, I like that. Abby, how about you? Give us an example of a healthy community.
I'm going to go with, I got a couple of options. My first option is one I've plugged before on this podcast, and so I'm not going to, because I don't want to be accused of favoritism. I think you both probably know what that is.
Yeah, we do.
So instead, I'm going to go with the Judaism site, actually. I've had them on the mind this week, because I do an internal segment called the Question of the Week on one of our, on an internal video that goes out. And I am going to highlight probably next week. They do during Purim, they do a Purim Torah kind of event on Judaism where they get to break the rules, like you're saying, John, break the rules of the engine and post jokes and be a little bit, be extremely tongue-in-cheek, actually, and sarcastic, both about kind of the rules of Stack Exchange and also about kind of the rules that this population, this community lives by year-round. And so I think that's the kind of thing that only works really well if you have strong values that everyone's committed to the other 360 days of the year, however long it lasts. And so to be able to say, okay, this is when we're going to relax our rules and kind of, it's not anything goes. We still have a second set of rules that we're living by for this short amount of time. But we can hate fun a little less. You know, we say we hate fun, but they relax and have a little bit of fun. I think, building that in is really important, and also the ability to do it well. And they've been doing it for years and years and years. That community is probably 8 or 9 years old at this point. Wow. It's one of the early Stack Exchange 1.0 communities that's been readopted. And they've been doing that for a long time. And so strong leadership and a sense of fun, I guess, those are the things I said were important. And that's what I see in the site that I picked out. So I must really believe that, which is cool.
You know, that's true. That event was the occasion for one of my favorite answers on Stack Exchange, where I proved definitively that the language that God speaks is the programming language Perl. And there can be no doubt that he speaks Perl and not Lisp, which was another
option. I gotta see.
So it's
okay, we gotta go find that.
Yeah, I'm gonna find
that. I'll put a link in the show notes, as they say on all the cool podcasts.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Click here, and then they point to the top left or bottom right corner, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and it's the wrong corner, but
for my choice of a healthy community on our network, I'm gonna go with the international sites. I think the four, the Japanese, the Russian, Portuguese, and the Spanish. I think those communities are really healthy. I think they're growing, and I think the localization challenges that we have also have caused the platform to grow and to be stretched in ways that maybe we hadn't considered before. And that to me is positive, because it also forces us to explore new options, which opens up possibilities for other sites in the network too that may need something similar. So to me, that is a good example of a healthy community which has some humor, users know each other, they're engaged, there is a plethora of introspective users there, and that's wonderful. Which, by the way, let me just say, John, when asked if you were an introvert concerning your introspective comment, I just find that really interesting, because I do agree. I think it's true. I think introspection is important, somebody to think through what's going on and then where are we going because of these things, not just to be reactive, right?
Yeah.
But to be proactive in the approach. So I just found that to be pretty neat. So, John, do we have a sponsor for this week?
Yeah, I did find the sponsor request, and this is from our chat system, which is a great place for communities to grow and develop that is totally unrelated to questions and answers. It's not like our meta, which is like forcing our platform to be discussion oriented. This is when it was introduced to us called the third place. And the idea is you have your home and you have your work, and then you have a third place where you just hang out with friends. And it's, traditionally it could be something like a bar or a coffee shop or something like that. But on our sites, it's our chat rooms, and people can talk about, they even have to stay on topic. They can talk about gardening on our programming site somewhere, and that's totally fine because it's a loosey-goosey talk about what you feel like place. And so that's our sponsor. Awesome. And they want to remind everyone to go out and use the chat system, and they're trying to gain some ground against Slack, because Slack has rolled over them lately, and that's not great. We need
sponsoring this podcast is probably a really good first step when you're trying to gain some market share against Slack. So anyone else is looking to take on the big dogs, come sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Totally, we've got great promotional rates just for you. Get in contact with us. We'd be happy to set you up with a plan that is going to best suit your needs. Well, with that, we are out of time. My name is Juan M, here with John Erickson and Abby the Hairboat. Thank you all so much for being here this week. We will catch you next time.
All right.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, y'all.
See you later.